hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, the guest here in the second hour this evening is Ed Decker of Saints Alive Ministry. And Ed has a ministry to Masons and to Mormons and to other groups of people who are in organizations that certainly have their foundation in the occult. Now, I never knew a Mason I didn't like. I never knew a Mormon I didn't like. But actually, Mormon comes out of Masonry. And Masonry comes out of the mystery religions of antiquity. And till you understand that there is a secret that has been passed on down through the ages, beginning, at the time of ancient Babylon and ancient Egypt, and fusing with the ancient Egyptian mysteries and the Syrian and Assyrian mystery religions, the Persian mysteries, and then, of course, down to the Kabbalah and the Gnostic faith, and then into, of course, the Rosicrucians, the Templars, groups like the Illuminati, and then, of course, into modern-day Masonry. There is this continuity of belief in a hidden force that, if you could tap into it, would give you tremendous knowledge and tremendous power. And the average Mason knows nothing at all about that, nor does the average Mormon or the people in the other forms of the occult. Well, certainly Ed Decker is an expert on this. He's came out of a Mormonism himself. He studied this. He's probably one of the leading experts we have on the Masonic faith, and actually he has a book of what you need to know about Masonry. Is that book still in print?
No, actually it's out of print, but the chapters on the Masonic book I put up on my website. They're actually available for free in the Masonic section, the Freemasonry section of my website library. So people can go and get the various chapters individually, and that was a lot easier than trying to get it republished.
All right. It's a great little book, though. I just love to have that. But at least with the Internet, why, of course, you can get it. What is the website so people
it's,
will
know? It's saintsalive.com. Just www.saintsalive.com, and you'll just click on it, and it'll bring you right up to it. And you'll find that I have on the site for Freemasonry, I have including all the actual word-for-word Masonic rituals from the Blue Lodge degrees are on the site verbatim. And if you're interested to know what somebody does when they go through the Masonic ritual in the Blue Lodge, the first three degrees from the Entered Apprentice and right up to the Master Mason, you will actually get those rituals right on my website.
Well, I've talked to Masons who come out of Masonry. And so many of them are really afraid to come on the radio. They're afraid to talk about it, even though that they renounce what they were into. They still live in constant fear. Have you run into that?
I have. If you remember back a number of years ago when Jimmy Draper was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, my dad was a Mason at the time, and I was trying to get my dad to wake up to what was going on, and he yelled at me, and he said, "You know what? If the Masons are good enough for Jimmy Draper, it's good enough for me." And he stormed out, and that was the end of it with him. Well, I wrote Jimmy Draper a letter, and I said, my dad's an elderly man. I'm trying to get him out from some of the spiritual darkness that he's involved in, and he's using you as a reason why he's staying in. And I said, and I gave him some information about, swearing blood oath, and I said, you are the head of the whole Southern Baptist Convention, and you put your thumb to your throat and swearing blood oath.
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, I guess, as Ed Decker, you were just talking about your writing to the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, who is himself a Mason. What did he have to say to that?
Well, he wrote me back, and first I had told him, I said, Brother Draper, how can you put your thumb to your throat and swear to have your throat slit from ear to ear and your tongue ripped out by the roots if you reveal the secrets of the law. And when Jesus himself said to swear no oath at all, anything beyond that comes from the evil one. You know, if you're swearing oaths with your thumb to your throat to have it slit, what you're doing comes from the evil one. And I said, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. He wrote back and he said he was admitting and that he felt that a Christian really shouldn't be making those kinds of oaths and that I was right. And then he admitted. But when he admitted, he just sent a letter saying what a good bunch of wonderful guys they were, and he just felt that in his time and his energies need to be spent elsewhere. He resigned his membership in the lodge. I'm glad he did, because I was able to get my dad out. But the point of it was that he still didn't want to offend the 40% of the Southern Baptist pastors who were Masons, nor did he want to offend the leadership in the Sunday school department or any of the other departments. And later on, I found out that the royal ambassador program of the Southern Baptist churches, that they were using Masonic rituals to initiate these kids. And no wonder people were joining the Baptist people were joining Masons when they became of age. They had been trained up in it as young men in the church basements. And then I made a big stink about that, and they changed that whole ritual. But it's devious, you know, and you just got to be on guard for it.
But I think what people don't understand is these occult movements permeate every aspect of our society today, and the average person has no idea what's going on.
I had a friend of mine who was an attorney in the Seattle area, and he just said, you can't be a successful attorney in Seattle without being a Mason. Just flat out, you can't.
And of course, I suppose that you get a Masonic judge, why they're going to rule against you if you're not a Mason. I've heard it said that, you know, if you go into a courtroom and there's either a Masonic judge or a Masonic attorney on the other side, or somebody from the Masons of the jury, you won't get a fair trial.
I had a case in Salt Lake City, and I got the only non-Mormon judge, thinking I was okay. And it was we had a reservations for a conference at a hotel up in the mountains outside of Salt Lake.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment when we bring our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Ed Decker, who's been involved in a ministry to Masons and Mormons for many years, having come out of Mormonism himself. He was saying that his father had been a Mason. But the head of the Southern Baptist Convention at that time was also a Mason, and about 40% of Southern Baptist ministers are Masons and have sworn these terrible blood oaths that they swear. And after Ed had written to the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, he actually resigned from the Masonic faith but would not come out publicly and attack them and expose them. And I suspect that the truth of the matter is he was afraid.
Absolutely. Well, he's afraid of offending, you know.
Well, but I think that at least the one man I talked to, he was really afraid for his life. He did not want to come out and attack them, and he certainly wouldn't come onto my radio program and talk about the secret oaths that he had sworn. Even though he had renounced them, why he would live it with fear of actually exposing them the rest of his life. But you were talking about another instance before just a moment ago.
Well, I was just saying that we had a case in the Seattle area where an industrial leader in our greater Seattle area had been arrested for sexually abusing his grandson, and that was in all the papers, and the trial started, and the second or third day of the trial, the judge came out and declared a mistrial with or without prejudice. I'm lost on that subject, but it was such that he could never be tried again. And the judge said that he had done something the day before that negated the possibility of a fair trial taking place. And what the judge did do was he received censure from the state bar association, but it, you know, was a letter, and he didn't get knocked off the court or anything else. But it was very obvious, and as I found out later, they were both 33rd degree Masons.
And because you're a 33rd degree Mason, it doesn't matter what the law is, it doesn't matter what the crime is, treason, murder.
You swear an oath that even murder included, you will hide the sins of your brothers. Actually, you know.
And that's why, of course, you cannot get a fair trial in America. You cannot have a free society when you have a secret organization that is as powerful as Masonry today.
Well, again, you know, I praise God that we have the Lord Jesus Christ to lean upon, because we're not going to get the help elsewhere in some of these cases. And as you know, I've had the situation where I've been poisoned by the Masons. In fact, twice I've been poisoned, and once very, very severely in Scotland. I was doing a TV special on the occult origins of Scottish Rite Masonry, and the Masons in Scotland did not take kindly to it. And I had my doctors discovered something like 7 times a lethal amount of arsenic in my system when they finally got me squared away and calmed down enough to be taken care of. I was in a pretty dire condition at the time.
And, of course, the thing is, it's so difficult for the average individual living in this society we do to believe that they will really kill people or try to kill them. And I'm sure that the Lord looks after Ed, and as I believe he looks after me and my family. Otherwise, I couldn't do what I do. And thanks for the prayers from literally thousands of people out across America who are praying for our family, and I'm sure they're praying for you as well, Ed.
That's right. And you know, and you know, and I know that we've got a calling in our lives in this matter, and you can't walk away from it. At least I've never been able to, and apparently from everything that you do, you've been unable to as well. And when God calls you, he provides the protection, and that's kind of the way I've always felt about it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get hurt once in a while, but I'm not going to. The scriptures say that you'll take no poison, that nothing, no harm will come to you. Well, I tell you, I like a definition of that, because I sure was a sick puppy for a long time from it, but I did pull through, and it's been a witness to others who knew what I was going through. It was one of the final straws that broke the back on my family's generations of the curse of Freemasonry in my own family. That was sort of the end of their final decision to stick with Freemasonry, was that little episode. And it was interesting, because it was my father who took the stand very strongly and was my champion in that area. So my family was set free. I only had to get poisoned to get it done.
that's a pretty high price to pay, but I'm sure it was worth it to get the family out. Well, certainly it would appear now that Masonry, in some respects, is certainly nowhere near as influential as it was. It's certainly losing a lot of members, although it has its people implanted certainly throughout the judicial system and in key positions in many divisions of government. They certainly are losing membership, aren't they?
They're losing membership. In fact, there are more Masons dying every year in the Seattle area, you know, in this jurisdiction up in the Seattle area, than are actually more people dying than are actually joining the Masons. So the numbers are going down, but they're becoming looser and looser in how they recruit. In the old days, it was more of a mystical recruitment program, and you had to ask, and you went through the blackballing and all that kind of stuff. Well, very few people are blackballing these days, I can tell you that for sure. And the reason for it is that it's pretty hard for today for the generations that are now here to join some clandestine organization like the Masons. And so they're doing a lot more than they did in the past. But we have, in the Seattle area, we have you know, retirement homes for the Masons, and you'll find out as you go in and look at these things that the Masons are so heavily endowed from these things. Men have put their money into these endowments that will take care of them as they grow old, and as a result of that, the Masons have a huge amount of money at their hands. And that's one of the things that draws some people into it, is the vast financial wealth of Freemasonry.
And then, of course, if you are a Mason, why, you'll get promoted, you'll get a better job, your family will be looked after if something happens to you. There are a lot of advantages to be a Mason, but people don't understand the spiritual implications. This is the thing that bothers me, that there's so many good people will get drawn into this, thinking that what they're doing is doing good, and some of what they do is good. Certainly the Shriners do a wonderful job with their hospitals for reconstruction, and they've helped an awful lot of children. But I don't think people understand the implications of what this is really all about. So from your point of view, could you explain what you've learned studying Masonry through the years, Ed?
Well, I've learned that Satan doesn't come to you looking like a 13-foot frog. You know, that he's going to come looking nice and smelling nice, and he's going to have an attractiveness to him that draws you in. The same thing that we were told was going to happen with the Antichrist. So evil can come in and look good. And men who are operating in the soul areas of their lives and not operating within the spiritual realm are drawn into these things. My family, every male member of my family was a Mason since I track it back to 1805. And so that was what the Deckers did. And we were Masons. And in our country area where we lived when I was a kid, upstate New York, you didn't buy or sell without being a Mason in that area. And if you didn't have, I remember a neighbor who was against the Masons, and he could not buy anything in the Grange, which was a Masonic, the Grange is actually a Masonic organization, and it was put together by rural and farming Masonic groups to buy grain and feed and all those kinds of things, farm materials at a wholesale level, and buy in quantity, and then buy, take it out as with your membership in the Grange. And my dad went and bought, I remember my dad going and buying some stuff for this guy so his animals didn't die, because they didn't have the food that they needed at the time. And the only way he could get it would be to drive, like 150 miles away and pay prime rate to get the material, because they would not sell to this man because he wasn't a Mason.
And so really it's sort of help your brother Mason help. But, the people who are not Masons, of course, on the outside. And because, but of course, as far as the spiritual aspect of it, most Masons, I'm sure, believe that, you can be both a Christian and a Mason. And certainly a lot of them go to church. I'm sure a lot of them, in many respects, believe in the Christian message. So how can you correlate Christianity and Masonry?
Well, Christianity, of course, the Masons use a lot of Christian symbols and so forth, but as I've discovered, as I've studied through their documents and their rituals, they play games with the scriptures. For example, you learn that the sacred name in the night to the east and the west is Abaddon, and yet in Revelations 9:11 it says that the demons have a king over them, and his name in the Hebrew, Hebrew is Abaddon. So you begin to learn that throughout the use of scripture and things that lull in a person who doesn't understand the word of God, you discover that all these things have a double meaning to it, and a twist of the word, a twist of the scripture, the ordaining of the men into the Melchizedek priesthood in the grand pontiff level, usurping the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It goes on and on as you begin to study these things, that you learn that they do play with scripture, but they manipulate the scripture to an evil way.
And I think the average Mason, he's so busy going through all the rites and all those other things, he doesn't have time to read the Word of God. And because he doesn't read the Word of God, he doesn't understand the significance of Abaddon, or he doesn't understand the significance of when you die, you stand before the great white throne of judgment.
Well, that's the other part of it, that's one of the great fallacies of Freemasonry, is that when you're done and you're buried in your Masonic garments and you're covered with your apron, that's when you're told that you will stand before the great white throne judgment of God, and be told, well done, my good and faithful servant. Yet the great white throne in Revelations again tells you that the great white throne judgment is the judgment of the damned. that those dead not in Christ. And so here are these Masons who are, you know, wanting to be buried in their aprons and their paraphernalia, so that they can be go to the judgment of the damned. Again, it's a lack of knowledge. I just want to read an email that I got today, and it deals with the darker side of Freemasonry in a way that most people don't see it, but I've run into this over and over and over again in my ministry. It says, "Dear Ed, I just read your articles about the Masonic Lodge. I'm very concerned as my husband is a member of the Masonic Lodge. I know he joined because friends of his are involved in it. I repeatedly told him not to join, but could not give a good reason as to why not to. He has now taken his third degree. This was done about 2 weeks ago. What has started to baffle me are certain signs. I have been awakened several nights, at least four nights this past month, by a strong, strange, terrible smell that has overpowered me while sleeping, and he has slept through all of this. I actually had to get out of my bed, get a candle I bought of frankincense and myrrh, and walk throughout my house burning it at 1 and 2 a.m. in the morning. Yesterday, I mentioned to him that I had been unable to sleep through many nights, but he is now starting to take me seriously. I know he is easily influenced, and although I have a strong Christian belief, I do pray every day throughout the day and do Bible readings. However, this seems to have a hold on the family and blocking our being blessed. Could you pray for my husband in this situation?" And what's happening is these demonic manifestations are there, and this is what this woman has experienced. This man is bringing demons into his house. He's bringing his paraphernalia into his house, and that paraphernalia acts like talisman, a door to the dark side coming into that woman's house. And because he is not an understanding Christian, and because she is a Christian without the knowledge of how to deal with this spiritually, that household is in disrepair. And that's when the disease comes. That's when the sickness comes. That's when the alcoholism starts it. And I see in Masonic homes over and over and over again the diseases and the homosexuality and alcoholism, the physical abuses and sexual depravity, like homosexuality, are fruits of Baal worship, and it's coming into these houses through these men because their headship is no longer Jesus Christ, if it ever were. There's now Jobulon, the god of masonry, which is a Jehovah Baal Osiris deity, which is the demonic deity.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I was just the other evening, there's a new video out. I think it's you appear in it. I think it's called Written in Stone, something like that. And I was the first time I'd ever seen a picture of you. But they have all the pictures from Washington, D.C., of all the government buildings that have pictures of Baal on them. And the average individual has no idea how, of course, this influence of the occult permeates every aspect of our lives, including our nation's capital.
Well, I think you need to have your listeners go to my website and go to the Masonic, the Freemasonry section of my website.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here. And Decker, we were just talking about a video he appears in. We'll be carrying it. It's called Riddles in Stone is the name of the new video put out by Chris Pinto, and we'll be having it. Our supply will be here in about 2 weeks. We've ordered them, but they're not available. Anyway, Ed is one of the stars of the video. But he was just saying that everybody should go to his website. If you doubt that the occult influence within Masonry, and what will they find when they get to your website, Ed?
Well, the one I want them to go to is called Freemasonry, Is It Satan's Door to America? And then in that is a map, of the street map of Washington, D.C. And you'll see the goat of Mindy's in the streets, purposely designed there, starting with the U.S. Capitol. And then the one leg of the goat of Mindy's coming down the Jefferson Memorial, and the second one coming down on the White House, coming down straight down from the Capitol building through the Washington Monument, making a turn for the square of the emblem of Freemasonry, the square. It makes a turn through the White House and ends up at the House of the Temple on 16th. And then if you look at the White House, a pentagram in the streets goes from there through to the House of the Temple. The entire street layout of downtown Washington, D.C. Is designed by Masons who put it together in there, and with the inverted five-pointed star pentagram laying with its point, you know, facing the north, with the point down in true occult fashion, it sits within the intersections of Connecticut and Vermont Avenues. All these streets all come together. This is a Masonic emblem and an ancient symbol of witchcraft, this whole pentagram thing, and you'll find it sitting right on our White House.
And, of course, there are a lot of, people who will scoff at this sort of thing. Well, that's just coincidence. The pentagram isn't complete. Look, there's an area there where a couple of streets are left out. But, of course, you know, anything, of course, they cannot let the American people know the truth.
And I look at the work that went into the layout. This was going to be a Masonic Republic by some of the designers of the government and the programs that were laid out. And again, the Capitol's streets were laid out that way. It was done purposely. The Masons talk about it. It's not something that's hidden. It's not well known, but it's the same thing that we find on our dollar bill, and we find it on all the buildings. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And this was designed to bring in that influence and that occult power into our nation, into our government.
And of course, the thing is that literally every major building in Washington, D.C. has a Masonic cornerstone, and will have a Masonic plaque there, acknowledging. But you could never have a plaque that would acknowledge the God of the Bible, the Christian God. But it's all right to have a plaque that honors the Masonic God, who is, of course, not the God of the Bible at all, but the God of the underworld, the Prince of this world. And literally every major building there in Washington, D.C., from the Capitol building to the White House to all the major buildings, have a cornerstone, a Masonic cornerstone.
Well, it's scary, and just recently, in the beginning of February, a Muslim leader was led the Democratic Congress people in a word of prayer, and basically with heads bowed reverently, they were led in prayer on the 2nd of February by a Muslim imam who essentially asked Allah to assist in converting the party members to Islam. And in this, he unveiled terms, to be sure, talked about the straight path, the path of those who now has favored, not the path of those who earn by anger, nor those who go astray. And you'll discover that the people who went astray are the Christians, and the ones who have earned Allah's anger are the Jews. And this imam just basically got up there and led them in a prayer of conversion to Islam. And they are so interested in making everything politically correct and accepting the peaceful Islam that they allowed themselves to be led through a prayer of conversion by a Muslim leader.
And, of course, once Christian America, of course,
try to have a Christian pastor come up and pray that way.
In fact, they just threw a Christian chaplain out of the service because, of course, he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's perfectly all right for an imam to pray in the name of Allah. That's all right at a government function. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble because we've lost the vision of what America was. It was at one time strongly Christian. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course the one thing that people don't understand is that at the time America was created as a nation, there were two forces here. There was one was the Christian, and the other was the occult, the Masonic, and of course the Masons were a continuation of the ancient mystery religions. So there was this dualism, in fact, down throughout the history of our nation. the two forces in constant conflict. Today, of course, the Christian influence is on the ebb, and the occult influence is really almost in total control of every aspect of our society. And the average Christian, although we're still predominantly Christian, the average Christian has no idea what's going on. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I was looking at the Oscars and all the carrying on about, you know, all these great people and the fawning and the carrying on over the presentation of some of films and themes and stuff that you wouldn't want your family to ever see. The more it is, the worse it is. Right now, we're fighting, you know, with ourselves to stay calm about some guy who's doing a movie going to be presented on television this weekend on the actual true tomb of Jesus. Just one more thing to ridicule and attack Christianity. These guys are presenting a totally bogus presentation on something that doesn't even fit the time frame of when Jesus was around, but it's okay to go ahead and do this because it attacks Christianity and it has all the Christians in an uproar. But the Christians don't really do a whole lot in the uproar. They get upset and then they just sort of blink, and then these people can just continue on doing more and more, and we just sort of sit there like fools and don't do a thing about it.
Well, we're told we have to be tolerant. In fact, we should tolerate it. We should tolerate almost just about everything. The Muslims, we should tolerate the Muslim faith, and we should tolerate the atheists, and we should tolerate all the other faiths in the world. But the one thing we can't tolerate, of course, is intolerance, and the other thing is Christianity. And there really is a conspiracy against God. There's no question. Everything is being done to destroy the faith of our children. That is why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and they're undermining the faith of the people of this country. And now we've first got the secret, this phenomenon that's being pushed by Oprah Winfrey and Larry King, where you can learn how to harness the entire universe at your disposal. And of course, we've been doing a number of programs on the secret. There is a secret, but not the one they're talking about. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ed Decker. Ed, at this point, let's once again give your web page out there and how people can get your books. Do you have any books or anything of that sort you'd like to tell them
about?
Well,
they can find, you know, Past Facts and False Teachings is a book that is now about 350,000 copies out, and my co-author Ron Carlson and I cover something like 14 different cultic or groups or world religions like Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and so forth, and the book is an easy book to read. You can pick up a copy of that. Of course, The God Makers is still available. I wrote that with Dave Hunt, and that was done in 1980, and it's still selling like a regular new book. It's now probably over 700,000 copies out. My book, Question of Freemasonry, or Islam, the Mystery Religion, To Moroni with Love, Dealing with Mormons at Your Door and Neighborhood. Just materials that I've put together over the years to help people understand how to reach these people, how to bring them out of the darkness into the light. And that's the call that's been on my life. Having been a Mormon, I understand how the Mormon people feel and how they think, and that's given me great insight on how to reach them for Jesus. I've been very successful over the years, but it takes a lot of hard work. But materials are all available on my website. If you write to me, you'll get an answer. It may not be the next day, but you will get an answer. I'm leaving this week to go overseas. I'm not going to exactly say where I'm going because my life's been threatened there. But I'm going to an area that is very difficult to minister in and deal with the issues like Islam and Mormonism and Freemasonry. And until the Lord calls me home, that's what we do.
Well, I respect you for it, and certainly we'll keep you in our prayers as far as your trip until your safety until you get back here. Well, you know, as far as the what's going on today, certainly, you know, America is changing. It's changing dramatically. It's not the America that I was raised in, you know, 60, 65 years ago. and we're turning against God, and certainly my fear is that God is going to turn against this nation and withdraw his protection from us. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm afraid you're right. The Christians are getting... The Christian church is complacent, and we have men out there like Rick Warren and others who, you know, are talking about happiness and a positive confession and, you know, and really dealing with taking Jesus and all that, but without repenting and without going through holiness. You know, I've moved toward holiness. We've moved away from holiness in the church, and it's pretty hard when you see a group of Christians together to determine that they're Christians instead of just people from the world. And it's a hard thing for my wife and me and our children and their families to always keep the Christian ethic in our work and all the things that we do. And I know my sons in the business world, they've had to walk away from business because of their Christian ethic. Fewer and fewer people are taking a stand, you know, a strong stand against darkness and against evil and against hypocrisy. I write more letters a week to the press and I just wrote a letter to Pat Robertson. He's bringing Mitt Romney in to do the commencement services at Regent University. Mitt Romney, he's a high priest in the Mormon cult. We're standing there in his magic underwear, having sworn a blood oath to obey the prophet and to give all that he has for the kingdom of God, the implementation of the kingdom of God, which is in Mormon terminology, doublespeak. It is bringing in the theocratic government in which the Mormon Church takes control of the United States of America, and they do this by bringing in the political and the ecclesiastic movements together under one prophet. And Mitt Romney sworn blood oaths to sacrifice his own life, everything he has, for the purpose of bringing in that kingdom of God and the United Order of the Last Days of Mormonism. And he's speaking at Regent University.
Well, I think, you know, it's really quite you know, revealing that none of the major Christian leaders go back. Ron Paul, who is a Christian, and Ron Paul, I think, in many respects, espouses the belief of the vast majority of Christians as far as the pro-life position, but as far as fiscal responsibility, as far as politics, as far as conservatism, as far as limiting the power of government, and certainly on every moral and financial and political issue, I find that he's on the right side. And yet when Jerry Falwell lists the Republican candidates, he doesn't even mention Ron Paul. He mentions at least three Republican candidates, you know, who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations,
right,
but
yeah.
He doesn't mention Ron Paul. And certainly I would expect that Pat Robertson, who of course, you know, certainly wants the accolades of the world, is not going to mention Ron Paul. None of the major Christian leaders are mentioning Ron Paul, who is the only person I see on the political scene on the Republican side, and certainly and there's no one on the Democrat side, but the only person on the Republican side who is consistently in favor of our Constitution. And he's known as Dr. No in Congress, and of course he's ridiculed by people like George Will, who said, why, of course, you know, this is sort of like just sort of a throwback to these ideas that the Constitution is, you know, should be interpreted as it's written. I mean, what an absurd idea to believe that we should believe in what the Constitution says. And, of course, that the federal government does not have the right to do whatever it wants to do. And the president doesn't have the right to do whatever he wants to do. The idea that there's restrictions placed on the government, what an outmoded idea. You know, this disturbs me, Ed. Why aren't our Christian leaders backing, at least...
I don't know. One of the largest Christian television networks, PBN, had Romney on, and Paul Krause sat there knee-to-knee with him and said, this is a very moral man, and he should get all of our votes. And just endorsed them. And yet, the funny part about it is that CBN and Paul Crouch knows exactly what Mormonism is. Why would a man who knows exactly what Mormonism is sit there and endorse a high priest of the Mormon cult?
Oh, I can't give you the answer. Well, let's open the lines here in case people would like to call in. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Ed Decker of Saints Alive Ministry, and certainly one of the most knowledgeable people in the country as far as not only Masonry, but Mormonism, and there are a number of other cults. What about Jehovah's Witnesses? What's their relationship to Masonry?
Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses walk around with such a dark spiritual cloud over them that they don't really need Freemasonry, but Freemasonry is part of, just like as it is with Mormonism, you get back into it and you find out that its leadership was all involved in Freemasonry and it's nothing new under the sun. And it's a spiritual darkness. It's a way. What does the Bible say? There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's what we're dealing with these people. They bring in Freemasonry leaders, and these Freemasonry leaders then put together what seems right to a man, and they wrap it around Scripture, and it starts drawing people in. And they become spiritual slaves to a spiritual darkness, and that's what the Mormons are, and that's what the Moonies are, and that, you know, just go on down the list, and you'll find Freemasonry, and it's brothers and sisters throughout the world. You know, going back to the time of Jesus, the Essenes were the Gnostics of that day. You know, they had secret symbols and secret words and so forth. And if you go into Israel and you look in the areas where they stayed, in the caves and so forth, and the towns, you discover that they were also called the apron wearers. It's the same thing that you find, you go back into the cult of Osiris back in Egypt, and they were the apron wearers with the mystical signs and shakes and rituals and so forth. There's nothing new under the sun. And these deviant groups are all tied to the same root, and it's a form of satanic worship, every bit of it.
My friend was over in Israel, and he was there to see the Knesset, and whether it was in the building where the Knesset is or the Israeli Supreme Court, I'm not sure, but there, if you you look out a window, and there you can see that all-seeing eye in the triangle, the glorified eye that we see on the back of the American dollar bill. And of course, they use this. They hide their symbols in plain sight. We see them every day, and we have no idea what their significance is any more than the average American who uses a dollar bill has any idea the significance. Or this new Washington coin, gold coin they're putting out, but they forgot something on it. It's on all the other coins. It says, "In God we trust." But I guess it's in this one where we're just trusting George Washington. They've taken that reference out of our coinage now. Isn't that interesting? And isn't it interesting that nobody mentions they've taken "In God We Trust" off? What about that emblem on the back of the dollar bill? The incomplete pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye. What's the significance
of that? Well, boy, you got me late at night on that one, Dr. Stan. There's so many different symbols that are on the dollar bill. And you notice the all-seeing eye on top, and you count 13 steps up, and you count the numbers of stone, and you get to the 33rd degree, and the symbolism is buried throughout the whole thing. And there are, you know, people who want to get in really into the detail, just go into go to your web and go to Google and just type in American U.S. dollar bill and put Mason as a word, and it'll give you 15 different places where you can go in there and you can look at every tiny little thing that the Masons have put in there. Again, we just go accustomed to it. We're passing that through our hands, you know, it's unique because they own the money. You know, and the men that control the money are the people who bow down to the altar of Jobulin.
And of course, the thing is that this was actually put on the back of the dollar bill in the back of the Great Seal of the United States in 1782. And initially, it was the first design on the for the Great Seal, and this was to be the back of the Great Seal. It was made up by Jefferson and Franklin, and I believe Adams. But there they had the eye, the glorified eye, and then they, of course, they had the symbols of, I don't know whether it was Venus. They had a couple of the Greek gods there, but then it was later on, certainly a man who was deeply involved with masonry who came up with the emblem that we see on the back of the dollar bill.
Well, it goes further than that. I mean,
around for 6,000 years.
I was at the American Cemetery in Manila some years ago, and I was looking at the Wall of Honor and each of the buried men that had the Congressional Medal of Honor, there was three dots, and I recognized those three dots in one of the code books of masonry, and I did a study on it and discovered that the Congressional Medal of Honor was designed by the Masons, and it's an inverted five-pointed star, the pentagram, the same thing that sits on top of the White House. And again, it just runs shudders down your spine. But I want to say something here, and the Bible tells me that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I walk a life of victory and not a life of fear. My children walk lives of victory and not lives of fear. We have the opportunity in these last days, as the turmoil begins, to reach out and bring more and more people into the kingdom of God, the real kingdom of God. And so I look forward to some of these things, and because I know that if God is in it and God plans it and God allows these things to take place, then we're getting what we deserve, number one, and number two, we're getting closer and closer to that last day, the end of days. And it puts an urgency in each of us who are evangelical, zealots, that every day is precious to see one more person come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as I have the Lord, it doesn't matter what comes against me, I'm safe.
Amen to that.
Even if my life is taken, I'm safe. And so I have no fear. I do caution, obviously, but I have no fear for my life because it's in the Lord's hand, and we know these things are taking place. We can see the handwriting that's been on the wall, and the great nation of the United States that could be a Christian nation that could change the world has become the world and has given up. And we've allowed the liberal press, we've allowed the liberal officials who we put into office who don't seem to ever get out of office, like Ted Kennedy and others. We've allowed these people to come in and determine what we can do and what we can't do. And it's time for the church to rise up. But it was a pathetic response in the last election as far as what the Christian church did. Much as we worked and much as we, in the pastoral roles, spoke out about the issues, we still couldn't get the vote out. And that's pathetic.
It certainly is. Well, let's go to Jack, who's calling here from Michigan. Jack, you have a quick question.
Yes, Dr. Stan. Wondering if Ed could review whether the 13th rite of Freemasonry constitutes a wedding ceremony of the initiate to Satan, commemorated by a special Masonic ring.
Now, what is the 13th? You're talking about the 13th degree?
Yes, yes.
All right. Are you acquainted with the 13th degree, Ed?
I'm trying to think if that's the Knights of the East and the West. The caller, do you remember what that is?
No, sir. I just remember Ralph Epperson mentioned that in the past, that there was a wedding ceremony that weds the initiate to Satan, commemorated by a special ring.
Well, they don't really say that they're doing it to Satan. And what you're getting is you're getting a bonding and coming into a oneness with the great architect of the universe,
right,
who is Jobelon. And in the Royal Arch degree, you learn, on the Scottish Rite, you learn that his name is Jobelon, which stands for Jehovah, Baal, and Osiris. And so you're being wed to Jobelon. And you're not really in a sense of a wedding ceremony, but the symbolism of it and a number of other things, programs that they have also, the symbolism is as though you were wed to him, but you are bound to him by oath in that degree. That's what Ralph was talking about, I think.
And certainly, of course, that when we marry, well, we take an oath to really to God, to love, honor, and obey, and until death do us part. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Jack. We're just out of time.
It's the same thing that the Mormons do in the Mormon temple ceremony, in which they swear oaths to sacrifice and to be obedient to and to be in a total control of the prophet.
Hold that thought. Well, Ed, we've got just 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program before I'm going to let you go.
Well, in 3 minutes, all we can really say is that these things are in place. But, you know, the power of prayer in this nation, it's like my home church. We have three prayer vigils every single day, including Saturday. And on Saturday night, we have as many as 500 or 600 people in church praying for the nation and for the president and for the nations, and Sunday mornings before the services and during the services there's prayer going on every single day of the week. And there are more and more churches that need to get involved in that kind of prayer, because prayer is stopping the sickle. And we have to understand that we who know what prayer does, we have to go before the throne and plead the cause of our nation.
And I'm sure you're absolutely right, of course, that we have to understand that our God is far more powerful than the occult forces on the other side. But the occult forces appear to be winning, because, of course, the Christian church has been pretty much neutralized. And it doesn't have to be.
Well, I almost feel that there's going to be a great shaking of the Christian church coming pretty soon. And then they're going to either go and take a mark or stand up against the beast, because that's what's coming.
Amen to that. Of course, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And I don't think we're going to have to wait an awfully long time. I believe we're approaching that climax of history. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel the same way, and I just say, come soon, Jesus. I look at my precious little grandchildren, and I just look at them, and I think, oh, I'm so glad that I was born back in the 30s. You know, that I didn't have to go through what they're going to go through. But they have already a strength of faith, and you know, you can't even get to dinner without them saying grace and praying over things, and they're just little babies, really. And our children have to raise them up to be stronger than we ever were.
And I would believe that we have an obligation to try to bring everyone we can into the kingdom of God. And the time we have allotted to us, but certainly we have an obligation to protect our family. And we can make all the material preparations we want to. But the most important we can make would be the spiritual preparation for the very, very difficult times that lie before us. Ed Decker, thank you so very much
for
being with us.
God bless you.
And you too, and just have a wonderful, safe trip. We'll look forward to talking to you when you get home.
Actually, I think I'm going to talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Anyway, bye-bye. Good night. God bless.
Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye.